This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vice President Harris on her way to North Carolina talking about the comments made by President Biden when he said Donald Trump supporters were garbage. Harris says the White House clarified that he meant one Trump supporter, not all of them. Harris saying,
I respect the challenges that people face. I respect the fact that we all have so much more in common than what separates us, and that most people want a president that understands that, that gets that, and approaches their role of leadership. That way, I've been very clear.
The garbage comment made by a Trump supporter about Puerto Rico at his Madison Square Garden rally on Sunday. The U.S. economy grew at a healthy 2.8% annual rate from July through September, fueled mostly by consumer spending. The University of Florida's election project has reported that more than 51 million Americans have already voted, with less than a week left until Election Day. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underle has proposed $59.5 million in new investments aimed at recruiting and retaining Wisconsin educators. The announcement is part of Dr. Underle's 2025-27 biennial budget. Under Underle's education workforce proposal, stipends would be provided to eligible student teachers to help cover expenses and reduce debt. A new state-funded Grow Your Own grant program would help grow the workforce. A support program for new educators would expand, and barriers to licensure would be carefully examined and reformed as necessary. Data from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's 2022 Education Preparation Program and Workforce Analysis Report, released earlier this year, found that about 4 out of every 10 first-year educators either leave the state or the profession altogether within their first 6 years teaching. Can cow manure help solve climate change? Brittany Merlo reports.
Experts at a recent congressional briefing say yes. Anaerobic digesters, known as dairy digesters, can capture methane, a greenhouse gas, from waste pits at dairy farms. A few farms in Wisconsin already use them. They convert the biogas to natural gas, which then can be used to generate clean power. Congressman Jim Costa, who represents part of the San Joaquin Valley, says it's a win-win.
You can set up a methane digest operator that can really be very efficient, very effective, and produce a lot of electricity and handle the waste at the same time. So these sustainable farming practices have reduced operational costs to farmers.
However, some environmental groups argue that this doesn't address so-called enteric methane, a natural byproduct of cows digesting their food, which is responsible for more than 70% of agricultural methane emissions. Advocates suggest a better solution would be for people to cut their consumption of dairy and meat.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A Bucks player cited for speeding. High on Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, Milwaukee Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. has been slapped with a speeding violation after crashing his BMW into another car, then into an apartment building at Yankee Hill in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. At first, the team said it was a single car crash, but the Journal Sentinel discovered a second vehicle was involved. No injuries to the two people in that car. Jackson to pay for damages and the $138 fine. The Bucks are in Memphis to face the Grizzlies tomorrow night. NFL, Packers rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper talked about his sack and forced fumble against the Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's something we work on a lot, you know, like our defense. That's what we want to do, try to get the ball. It's supposed to play is turn to point, so and that's what happened. So that's just our way of thinking.
Matt LaFleur says the rookie gets better every week.
It seems to me that he's developing a better routine. I think Coop's done a better job in that regard.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Showers and storms roll in today, and some could be strong, producing vicious winds and torrential downpours, where 1 to 2 inches of rain is not out of the question. High temperatures today hover in the mid-70s and fall to the mid-50s tonight. With a rainy start tomorrow, we do dry out by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. And if you have the Civic Media app, you can also download the Civic Media app if you don't have it yet. And you can call and text directly to any show that you're listening to across the Civic Media Radio Network. Whether you're in Oshkosh, you want to listen to a show in Green Bay, download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. You can find it wherever you get your apps. And a reminder, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, out on the road with the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour continues today. This is great. They're going to be at the Norske Nook.
I am so mad.
Are you jealous? They're at the Norske Nook in Osseo today. How many pies can Todd consume in one day? Tune in to find out. Todd's also going to be joined by Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project, Reed Galen of the Union, and other local guests. So catch Todd's show today from noon to 2 p.m. at the Norske Nook in Osseo. If you're up there, stop by and see him. I know they would love that.
Even if Todd wasn't there, if you're in Osseo, go to Norske's Nook. You're going to have the heaviest pie you've ever going to have in your life. It's so good.
What is the favorite pie? Is there a favorite pie?
The two times I've been there, I had a cherry pie and I had a blueberry pie. Ooh, I kept it real simple.
Cherry is classic.
Yeah, I didn't want to go too over the... But they got a lot of great pies, but I wanted to go simple. And cherry or blueberry, I mean, you're just going to... It gets your mind off the fact there are 6 days until election.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Oh, it will be. Okay.
It will. Coming up after 10:30, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here with public service announcements. And we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Payless Edition.
No, you're not getting free shoes.
Someone said there are samples. But we'll talk about that at around 11:51. Stick around for Tisbet, or This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I'm trying to make it a thing. It's never going to be a thing.
It's never going to be on a T-shirt.
Okay, we were talking a lot yesterday about the election, six days, as Greg just mentioned, and what to do if you still have an absentee ballot. So now they are saying don't put it in the mail.
Yeah.
It's October 30th. The last time to really get it in was yesterday, if you were going to mail it.
Yeah.
Now, according to this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you can bring it to your polling place on election day or your community central count location, put it in a drop box, drop it off at your clerk's office, or bring it to an early voting location. We got an email yesterday on Jane Says.
Yeah.
So if you ever have a guest or a topic or a complaint, send it to Jane Says, JaneSays@civicmedia.us. Got this email from Todd Stiles. And I called him this morning to make sure that he was cool with me, with us talking about this. Todd Stiles emailed us and said, I am a chief election inspector in De Pere. We just had a chief inspector meeting, and we will not accept in-person absentee ballot drop-offs.
Okay.
They must be dropped off at City Hall before 8 p.m., or you can vote in person and then destroy or spoil, it's called spoiling your ballot, in the polling place. So this is De Pere. He said, I just wanted to clarify that I've heard you talking about this, but saying you can drop it off at your polling place. Perhaps some allow that, not all do.
So that's why I think from this point on, we're going to keep talking to you about early voting until it's done. But here's what the best thing you can do is go to civicmedia.us/vote. In there, you will find information on how to track your ballot, how to get questions answered, and that will send you to myvote.wi.gov. We've been talking about that one for years now, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a great website, myvote.wi.gov. Find out who your clerk is. Call that office. Get the information for your municipality, because every city is going to be different from the town versus the...
Exactly.
So don't... What we're telling you now is great, but it might not be what goes on in your municipality. So call your clerk's office to get the actual word from your clerk.
How it works in your municipality.
Correct. Because that's the best way to make sure your vote is cast and counted.
And you're not going to be a pest.
No.
This is what they do. They are there to help you.
No.
So again, according to Todd Stiles, and thank you so much for this, Todd, I'm a chief election inspector in De Pere. We just had a chief inspector meeting. We will not accept in-person absentee ballot drop-offs. They have to be dropped off at City Hall before 8 p.m. or vote in person and destroy, which is called spoiling your ballot, at the polling place. There may be some areas that allow this, but not all do. So, again, as Greg said, call your municipal clerk and find out if you have questions.
Yeah.
Just to clarify for where you live, we want everybody's ballot to count.
Yeah, and we don't want to get anyone bad information, because it's you can vote up until November 3rd in some areas. Some you can't. Your last day to early vote might be Friday or Saturday, but that's why you got to call that clerk's office, and they'll take care of you.
And again, go to civicmedia.us/vote. There's all kinds of information there that you can use, and I hope you check that out. Also from Ann Jacobs, who is the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, she said, in Wisconsin, ballots must be received by 8 p.m. election day, not postmarked.
Yeah, which... I have a lot of opinions on, but okay.
So if you have an absentee ballot sitting on your kitchen counter, it's a good idea to use a drop box or take it to your clerk's office so you are guaranteed to get it in on time. Again, this is from Ann Jacobs, the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. In Wisconsin, ballots must be received by 8 p.m. election day, not just postmarked.
And if you're hearing us in Dodge County at all, call your clerk's office. You don't have Dropbox availability. Same with New Berlin. Same
That's
with
right.
Brookfield. Your drop boxes have been, I'll say it, stolen from you. Also, Wausau, too. Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
It's,
oh, well that one's back.
That one's back. Yeah. But the point is that not every ability to vote early is available to you. So, like we said, call that clerk's office. Get their info. That's going to be your best bet.
Yes. We want it to be accurate. And as we said, we want everyone's vote to count.
Yes.
We're all American citizens. We're all Americans. We all have the right to vote.
Even a beta male like me wants you to know. I'm a beta male, and I want you to know where you can vote, because I want your vote to count, my friends.
Why is that an insult?
Because guys who are totally insecure about themselves, it's I'll tell you, a guy in the live stream called me a beta male. I'm fine with that.
Well, but again, why is that considered, ooh, ow, what?
Because the person who says it is sad and insecure inside. They have to make you feel bad, and because they listen to people like Joe Rogan, to Trump, Elon, and other people, or other podcasts, that's how they think it's the best way to stick it to you.
Well,
also, if you look it up, alpha male, not actually a thing.
Well, and are alpha males wrestling anacondas? I mean, what's the definition of an alpha then?
Well,
it's you're the manliest of manly men. So no. what does that all involve?
I don't know. All I know, it never is. It just means that they didn't cry enough and they didn't hug their father. That's what I'm going to think. So I personally, if anyone calls me a beta male, which I was just called, which I think is great, I take it as a badge of honor, because that means that me being myself, who I am is threatening to those who are just trying so hard to be manly and blah, 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 because they haven't been able to deal with their own crap. And I don't swear on the air often. When they can't deal with their own junk and they have to point fingers at other people and bully them, that says a lot about them. And honestly, I really hope they get help, talk to someone, get it out there in the world, because that's important. Talking to men out there, talking to you men, talk about your feelings. It's okay.
We have a couple.
And your dad doesn't know who you vote for.
That's right. A couple comments on the live stream. I'm a beta. Whoop, whoop. Tony Zimmerman, it's a vibe. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
So are there alpha females and beta females, or is that just a manly man thing?
Yes, I'm sure there is. I can't speak to that because I am not a female, and I won't speak for women because that is not a good idea. But I'm sure there is. And it all goes back to this study that was done about wolves, the alpha male of the wolf pack.
Okay.
The gentleman who wrote the book actually came out later on and said, oh, I was wrong. This doesn't exist. There's no alpha male because he studied wolves. And I know this is very weird, but I'm making it connect to disintegrate their ideas.
Okay.
He studied wolves in captivity. Wolves in captivity have a different way of living.
Absolutely.
It's every person for themselves because there's no sense of survival. They're in captivity. Therefore, they're going to live every day, sleep. So, but in the wild, that's not a thing. They travel in packs. They work for each other. They work together. So there's no alpha male, quote unquote, in the wild. So the gentleman who wrote the book about it, the alpha male, alpha dog, came out and said, yeah, I was wrong.
Whoops.
Oopsie doodles. My book is completely wrong. Please don't read that book. It's wrong. Wrong information. Wrong info. Beta boy getting his day.
Which fits in perfectly with the name of this segment, which is to err as human, to offer a correction divine.
Thank you.
Which is what he did.
Oh.
Which is the author of that book did.
Jane, we are heroes.
I would not necessarily say that. Going back to a couple election-related things before we have to go to break. Yeah. Matt from Germantown, chief inspector here in Germantown. If turning in an absentee ballot on election day here, bring it to the central count, which is at Village Hall. Mm-hmm. Again, call your local municipal clerk.
Correct.
We don't have time to go through all of the municipalities.
There's 1,800 of them.
Yeah, we'd be here a long time. And also Greg from Waukesha listening on WAUK. I am a beta male. I used to cry watching Full House episodes.
That doesn't make you a beta male. That makes you in touch.
When they couldn't get along. Greg from the Shaw, thank you so very much.
Miss your face, Greg.
For that, Greg. All right. When we return, remembering one of the best comedic actresses, we are going to miss her. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
News from the center, WRCE.
What makes Wisconsin great?
Find out as Todd Albaugh and friends tour the state by bus, and they're coming to a city near you.
If people want to come out and say hi, first drink is on us, whether it's alcohol or not, and then some cheese curds, and we're going to be doing that all week long.
La Crosse to Eau Claire, Stevens Point to Appleton. Learn more and where to join them at civicmedia.us/whatmakeswisconsingreat.
The Todd Albaugh Show, a tour of, by, and for the people, all week, noon to 2.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I've got dreams to remember.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Thank you, Nicole from Madison, for his new nickname. We really appreciate that. Dr. Laura Hanks will be here after the 11:30 news. We are going to talk about prostate cancer, and this is something that is very personal for her after a recent loss in her family. So we're going to talk about that. And gentlemen, if you have questions, ladies too, if you have questions, please. This is something that certainly affects a lot of men and just affects a lot of families.
Correct.
Because it's all part of the whole. Send in your questions to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And we'll see if we can't get your questions in when Dr. Laura Hanks is here. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Payless edition. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Stick around for that. We lost an icon. Terry Garr is gone at the age of 79. She had been fighting multiple sclerosis for many, many years. But she was just iconic in the 70s and the 80s.
Yes.
She was just such a part of so many great films. She was in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I think is one of the first times she landed on my radar. And, of course, the one for which I think she's probably best known, which that was her first film role, was in Young Frankenstein.
Was that her first?
That was her first film role, I believe.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. For me, Terry Garr will always be Mr. Mom. She's the wife.
Oh, she was the wife of Mr. Mom,
yeah,
too.
She played Michael Keaton's wife who goes back to work. And
220, takes, 221, whatever it
whatever
takes.
Whatever it takes. You want a beer? It's 7:30 in the morning. Scotch.
We have a clip of the wonderful, iconic Terry Garr. Calvin, let's play a little clip.
Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay?
That's it.
She was so... There are outtakes you can find on YouTube from Young Frankenstein. I highly encourage you to go look those up if you're looking for a laugh.
You have Terry Garr, Cloris Leachman, and Madeline Kahn in one film. I mean, yes, Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle, and
Marty
and
Feldman.
Marty Feldman. They're great. They're wonderful. Hilarious.
Yes.
God rest all of them now, actually.
Yes.
They're all gone.
Someone put that on Twitter yesterday there is some great party going on in heaven with that cast reunited.
Oh, my God.
The entire cast of Young Frankenstein.
But those women are so funny. I mean, and Mel Brooks, to his credit, used them in all these other films of his. Just brought the you know, like, I think Tracy Ullman said in an interview with someone like Terry Garr, and that he didn't just think that funny women had to be bumbling or gangly or ugly, quote unquote. They could be sexy and funny. They were smart. He trusted them. And those three women in that film shine.
Yeah, they really do. It's where, hey, Halloween is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Grab Young Frankenstein and do a family watch of Young Frankenstein. Truly a classic and one of my favorite movies of all time.
Would you like an Ovaltine? Sorry, we could just, for the rest of the half hour, we could just quote this film. Oh my goodness.
We could do it. Yeah, we could finish out the show with just doing one-liners from Young Frankenstein. Again, we're remembering Terry Garr, who passed away yesterday at the age of 79. She had a long fight with multiple sclerosis. But I do think that, again, she tends to get overlooked. And I saw someone say yesterday, too, because she was in Tootsie.
Yeah.
With Jessica Lange and Dustin Hoffman and Bill Murray.
Yep.
And she probably should have won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for that film. But Jessica Lange was in the same category. And she probably should have been in for Best Leading Actress.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's the thing with Terry Garr is that she really had the, like you said, the 70s and the 80s were her time to shine. And unfortunately, and I don't use this term with any disrespect, but we kind of forgot about her, which sucks.
Well, she got sick.
Well, even still, like, even in the 90s, like, her, like, she wasn't in as many movies, and she hosted Saturday Night Live three times in their first, in quote unquote, their golden years.
Oh,
those
really?
First 5 years. Yeah, I mean, she was just so funny.
Another one I forgot about, she was in the movie Oh God with George Burns.
That's right.
She was John Denver's wife.
Completely
forgot about that.
Okay, we're watching some Terry Garr movies tomorrow night. Because she was an absolute
joy,
and she was so funny. And yeah, I'm really it's a bummer she is gone. And like you said, she was suffering for a long time, but ugh.
What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actress. Just brought so much joy to all of the roles that she played and a realness to her. There was just a realness to her that I think people could relate to.
Actually, her first movie was not Young Frankenstein. It was Damsel in Distress in the Monkees movie Head, which is a cult classic that no one in this building but me has heard of. So.
The Monkees?
The Monkees did a movie.
The Monkees band?
Yeah, they did a movie that did not go anywhere. They were like, remember how, like, they were put together by Hollywood?
Yes.
And, like, Neil Diamond, Carole King, and Neil Sedaka wrote their songs?
Yes.
Of course they thought one day, you know what? We can do this ourselves. We'll make a record that nobody bought. We'll make a movie that everyone hated.
Wow, I'm going to have to look that up.
She was in it.
All right. Watch Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And remember Terry Garr with some laughs.
The Conversation. That's
another
right.
Another good film. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public service announcement. If you have a question for the doctor, email it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, JaneSays@civicmedia.us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the very same Civic Media Radio Network.
You said he was just a friend, but I saw you kiss him again and again. These eyes of mine, they don't fool me. Why did he hold you so tenderly? I've got dreams, dreams.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. This Thursday is Halloween. As trick-or-treaters gear up for spooky Halloween, AAA is offering tips to keep everyone safe. On average, children are more than twice as likely to be hit by a car and killed on Halloween than any other day of the year, according to Safe Kids Worldwide. AAA also recommends safety tips for trick-or-treaters. Be visible. Light-colored clothing or costumes provide the best visibility to drivers. If unavailable, try adding reflective material or tape to costumes to increase visibility. Giving your child a glow stick or flashlight to carry also increases their chances of seeing and being seen by drivers. Cross the street responsibly. Cross using traffic signals and crosswalks. Look both ways before crossing the street and keep an eye on the road while you are crossing. Remind your child to not cross the street mid-block or run out between parked cars and neighborhoods. Don't walk distracted or impaired. Avoid checking your phone while walking or supervising children. Stay on sidewalks. If no sidewalks are available, always walk facing traffic and stay as far to the left of the roadway as possible. And remove bulky costumes or winter coats before buckling your child into their car seat. Bulky or oversized clothing can make the car seat harness fit incorrectly, leaving room for movement in the seat, which can be very dangerous in the event of a crash. Park Street Christian Church will host a trunk or treat event Thursday from 4:30 to 6:30, and the Richland Center Free Methodist Church will host its annual trunk or treat Thursday from 4:30 to 7. Free hot chocolate will be available to warm up with. The Rotary Lights in the Park deadline to sponsor a tree is Friday. Call Kathy at 608-604-2127. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz are about to team up in a new film, Day Drinker. Yes, my fellow Wisconsinites, it is an awesome title. The film will tell the story of a cruise ship bartender, Depp, who befriends a mysterious day drinker played by Cruz, and they end up embroiled in a caper. This will be the fourth time Depp and Cruz grace the screen together after starring in Blow, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, and Murder on the Orient Express. If you love Squid Game, you might love the new spinoff, which will be an American version. Deadline reports that the project will be led by director David Fincher, whose credits include films like The Game and Seven. This will be the first spinoff of the Korean show. Season 2 of the original Squid Game premieres December 26th of this year on Netflix. Producers say the third and final season will also premiere sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Showers and storms roll in today, and some could be strong, producing vicious winds and torrential downpours, where 1 to 2 inches of rain is not out of the question. High temperatures today hover in the mid-70s and fall to the mid-50s tonight. With a rainy start tomorrow, we do dry out by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I discuss independent film Green Bay Style. Caitlin Schuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival joins me in studio, and then we celebrate Henry Winkler's birthday. Someone has to. With comedian Mike Toomey.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up around 11:51, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Payless edition. It'll be worth it. Stick around. And a reminder, Dominic Salvia takes to the airwaves from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. He will be joined today by Matt Rothschild, who's host of the new Wisconsin Forward podcast. You should check that out.
Yeah.
He will be the co-host for the evening. And then they're going to talk with an investigative journalist, Greg Palast, and State Rep Francesca Hong. So that's the Dom Salvia show today from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Excellent. We are going to talk about something that's very personal for you, and I appreciate your willingness to talk about this because you recently had a loss in your family due to prostate cancer, correct?
Yes, that's true. Some people that may have been around a couple of months ago, we had a Dr. Hanks show that was super special for me to do with my dad, who's my hero and I've looked up to my whole life and one of the big reasons I went into medicine. The reason I was with him is because he was struggling with metastatic prostate cancer, and so we were spending a lot of time visiting, and even though he wasn't feeling well, I talked him into coming in the show because I knew it just was really mental.
And he did. And he was great. He was just, yeah. He was so great. It was such a great conversation. If anyone wants to go back and listen to that, you can find it. It's all archived at our website at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and then click on Matt Nair on Air and scroll down and you can listen to that conversation. Dr. Hanks is times two. But it was prostate cancer, and this is certainly something. One of my brothers had a scare with prostate cancer. This happens to a lot of men.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because there's really not the guidelines currently say not to screen for it in everybody, and there's just not a good way to screen for it. So in my dad's situation, his brother actually had prostate cancer. And so because of that family history, very close family history, he did ask to have screening. And the screening is a blood test where they do what's called a PSA blood level. And his was extremely elevated. And something to note is most people die with prostate cancer, not of it. And unfortunately, my dad was one of the very few that had a really high grade and an invasive prostate cancer. So, you know, it was a good thing it caught it early. He was diagnosed way back in 2020, but then passed away earlier this month, unfortunately. But, you know, he did find out earlier than some people do. So, you know, reasons to get screened, as I mentioned, it is an individualized. So risk assessment is patients that are older or people that are older, African-American race. And then, as I mentioned, the family history. So if you have any of those, then it's definitely worthwhile talking to your doctor about potential screening for prostate
cancer. So screening for prostate cancer is not like screening for breast cancer and cervical cancer, which women just do pretty much routinely over the course of their lives. I may be way off base here, Dr. Hanks, but was there a point where maybe the instances of prostate cancer were, it just feels like there was all of a sudden there was so much awareness about prostate cancer, and then there were all of these surgeries happening, and it seemed like it's kind of backed away from everybody's got to get screened for this and everyone has to have surgery, and that seems to have changed.
Exactly. And you're kind of hitting the nail on the head in terms of the reason why it's not universal screening is because of the harm. So many people think, oh, I just want to, you know, check my hormones, check my PSA, check my this, check my that. But you can have falsely elevated labs, or you could have a PSA that's elevated due to like benign hypertrophy of the prostate or prostatitis, things that are, again, benign diseases, but could then send you down the road of getting all these invasive procedures that you may not have needed. So that's why we, as healthcare providers, it's very important for us to know what is recommended and what isn't. And I also, obviously, most of my patients don't have a prostate. I do have some trans female patients that have prostates, and we talk about kind of screening for them. But really, it's making sure that patients understand that, you know, if this is, you know, what are we going to do if it's elevated, and what are the potential of a false positive in their situation.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Laura Hanks is here, as she is always on Wednesdays, for public cervix announcement. But today we're talking about prostate cancer. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. I see from the notes that Calvin left that you are a prostate cancer survivor.
Yes, quite frankly, it almost took me out. I had a Gleason score of 7, which in the books is right about out there. I was outside the gland, fully involved, all of this stuff that the doctor would know about. I would suggest to folks to rely as best you can with the consult of your urologist on a PSA draw. The day of my surgery, again, I had full-blown cancer, was close to the spinal cord, and I had a normal digital exam. He said, your prostate feels fine to me. So the blood test right now, until proper genetic testing and such can do more to diagnose or predict, I think, like BRCA1 and 2, it's not going to guarantee you have it, but you got a risk. My son has already stood up. He knows he's going to turn 40. You get a PSA draw and get a baseline. The other thing that I would encourage folks is now it's much better than when I had all this done, radical and tomotherapy back about almost 20 years ago. There's a lot more that's come along and really investigate things. If you do end up having to have radiation, whether it's tomo or a pinpoint, by all means consult with your radiologist, because afterwards the scar tissue is very possibly going to hemorrhage for you. I know this because this has been happening to me off and on for the last 20 years. Have a great day, folks.
Thank you so much
for
sharing that, Rob, and we hope you're okay. There is a lot there, but I think Rob made a good point in that treatments have advanced since he was diagnosed 20 years ago. Medicine continues to change. It is an ever evolving field.
Yep, exactly. And there's so much research going on. My dad was part of like many different trials regarding, you know, different radiation therapies and whatnot. So it's still evolving. And so staying on top of it, I think that's a great point. You know, and he also brought up the digital rectal exam. That's also kind of falling to the wayside as well, just because, as he mentioned, it wouldn't have caught it.
It misses it.
So, and it's obviously uncomfortable, you know, like it's not, you know, so we don't really, that's not, you know, generally done as much anymore, where the PSA, as he mentioned, can be helpful. And for, you know, his son, obviously, with having that family history, going to be important for him to talk to his doctor about that and having that level drawn when he's older. Currently, the guidelines we use, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force puts out guidelines, and they recommend screening that start till 55 to 69 years old. They recommend against it in the general population, but it is individualized, and to have that discussion with your doctor if you are at risk for it.
See, that's for me. I will turn 47 in about a month and a half, and I get people saying, you know, you're past 40, you got to get it done. Then people say 45, and then people say 50, and it's very confusing, because I went to the doctor. He, not the best doctor in the world, my first and last time there, he was not good. He literally just went, we'll do it another time. And I'm like,
I'm here.
I'm right here. I mean, and you don't have to do it right in this moment. I mean, I get that, but like a little bedside manner, a little advice, he just didn't seem to care. And so when you have all these non-doctors saying you got to do it at this point, and then you have a doctor who goes, meh, then it's just really confusing. And while prostate cancer isn't in my family, I have cancer in my family, and I want to be prepared for as much as I possibly can.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I brought up with my dad as well. Like prostate, obviously I don't have a prostate, but It is linked to certain genetic things such as BRCA, which is one of the genetic things that can predispose you to breast and ovarian cancer. So I, you know, told, I was like, I need to see your genetic results. Yeah. you know, we've got a strong with his brother, and my grandmother had breast cancer. And so, you know, one, luckily that all the genetics are negative. But what's also important that a lot of people don't realize is that his genetic results are important for me. So I don't necessarily need to get genetics run. Again, this is all discussion with your doctor and a geneticist and whatnot. But because his and my uncle's were negative, the likelihood that mine will be negative is high. That being said, there's new syndromes being discovered every day. Sure, and so like having that ongoing discussion. And to your point, Greg, just to circle back to what you were saying with your doctor, all these guidelines are available at your fingertips. So your doctor should be, and I do this often with patients if I'm like not quite sure what the current, because for the cervical like pap smear guidelines just changed again. They change every 5 minutes. So I pull it up right in front of people and I'm like, okay, this is what we do now. And it's all right there. And so, you know, these guidelines are changing because of new research, and that's the point. But being able to pull it up and go through it with patients, I think, is really important.
Well, and I think another thing, and we talked about this with Dr. Lyerly before you started taking over the segment, Dr. Hanks, just about, and maybe it was just my experience, but for a long time, I felt like I can't break up with my doctor. But you can, if you have an experience and you don't, it's like meeting with a therapist for the first time. If you don't hit it off and you don't feel like this is going to be productive, then find another doctor, find another health, find another therapist.
Please.
Don't feel obligated because you had one appointment that now you can't break up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And I tell patients that all the time. I'm like, if you don't feel like you're getting what you need, or this isn't, you know, working, I will not be offended. And I will actually give you recommendations for other doctors.
Yeah.
You need to be able to trust your doctor. You need to be able to feel like you're taking part in that shared decision-making. It's super important.
And it's a very individualistic thing. For a while there, my husband and I were both seeing the same doctor, and I loved her and she drove him crazy. So it's like, oh, good. Then go find someone that does not make you crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dr. Laura Hanks joins us on Wednesdays for public service announcement. If you ever have a question, you can email it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. 6 days to go. Dr. Hanks, how are you feeling?
Good. I mean, I sent in my absentee ballot. I may or may not have gotten some VIP tickets for somebody's rally tonight.
Oh, oh, nice.
I was like, for who? Is she on the Eras tour right now? I don't know.
Well, there is rumors that one Taylor Swift, she's on a break right now, and Beyonce was at the last one, and all her friends are going to be here.
That would really be something.
I'll die. I won't be here next week because I'll be dead.
No, we need you back here, Dr. Laura Hanks, from Public Cervix Announcement. Thank you so much, Laura. We will see you next week.
Sounds good. Bye, guys. Have a good rest of your week.
Stay with us. This shouldn't be a thing. Coming up next, Payless Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast, countrywide, statewide, global, if you're on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Stream. My daughter-in-law kills me for the money. She thinks I left them in the will. The family gathers around and reads it, and then someone screams out, she's laughing up at us from hell. It's me. I am the problem. It's me. It's me. I am the problem. It's me. Everybody agrees, everybody agrees. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Times. Everybody agrees.
News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-Action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Cal Viente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. My name is Jane. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, after the 12 o'clock news, Todd Alba out on the road at the Norske Nook in Osseo.
Oh, boy. Get up high.
Go get up high. Go say hello. He's there with Trigby Olson and Reed Galen, and they're doing a tour across the state. What makes Wisconsin great? So make sure you check that out right after the 12 o'clock news. And join us tomorrow, because we have Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is going to be here.
Yes.
Ben Wickler, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, will be here.
Yep.
Well, with 5 days to go tomorrow, 5 days to go to the election. J.R. Radcliffe, talk all things sports balls. And then where we are right now, it's 11:52. Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing. From Indiana, 51-year-old Larry Savage Jr., who was a candidate in the Republican 5th District primary earlier this year. He didn't get elected. He was arrested earlier this week by authorities in Madison County, Indiana, and charged with destroying, misplacing a ballot, and theft.
Boy.
Huh. Seems like someone was trying to mess with the election.
Yeah.
So here's what happens.
And he's a Democrat, right? Of course,
no,
he's a cheater.
He's a Republican. You know, he was a Republican. Running for a Republican, as a Republican in office. Mm. Yeah, according to this, they held testing voting machine display that was open to the public.
Yeah.
So people who have questions about election integrity could come and see the process.
Yeah.
And be part of the process. They were allowed to run test ballots through the machines that were assigned to their county. So Mr. Savage Jr. was one of the ones who showed up. Tragically for him, it was being live streamed and recorded. So he was caught on video showing Savage handling two ballots. He can also be here confirming with an election official, these are absolutely, totally real ballots. Then he looks around the room, folds them up, and puts them in his bucket.
Why would he do such a thing?
Then just after that, he leans over and says to a woman, oh, this count's all screwed up. The count's going to be screwed up. Trying to, again, encourage people to believe that there's shenanigans going on when there aren't.
There is shenanigans going on. He's
shenaniganing.
He's shenaniganing.
Yes, that Larry is doing that. So, yes, Larry was also caught on camera outside of this building. Buddy of his patting him on the back, and they're having a good laugh, and they jump in their cars and drive away. So the police show up at Larry Savage's home. He did admit taking the ballots before officers even finished reading the warrant. Quote, you talking about the ballot the lady told me I could take. I got the paper you're talking about. I just rolled it up and put it in my pocket. I wasn't trying to steal from nobody. This is all political BS.
Ah, yes.
When he was told, security video did not show Savage ever asking permission to take the ballots. He admitted he didn't. He told officers he thought he could take the ballots because they were marked sample. Quote, if you go to Payless or go wherever, it says sample, and you usually can take a sample. So that's the way I took it. I thought they were fake effing ballots. Payless gives samples of shoes?
So that was the thing, is like we're walking down this walkway of information. It's very weird. It's very dark and dusty, and we don't understand what's going on because this guy is not there. And he's stealing and he's causing voter fraud. But you know what? We're Democrats. We're cheaters, I guess, according to Ron Johnson. Point is, all of a sudden he says, samples like Payless. And that's when you see a new hallway. You're like, wait a second. What's down here? Because this is some new insanity I've never heard about.
If you have a Payless shoe store in your neighborhood that gives out free samples, I want to know how this works.
You get one.
You get one left.
Yep. You know how it's like BOGO, buy one, get one?
So you get one left shoe and then a different right shoe?
It's the opposite with that. So instead of buy one, get one, it's you get the right one for free and you pay twice as much for the one left one. That way it evens itself out.
He has told a local news reporter he does not mean to hurt anyone. I'm just trying to fight for our country.
Join the military then.
At no time did I actually think this was a real ballot. I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I didn't do anything with malintent. I love the people that serve. I'm an elected official. I would never do anything to hurt anybody. The truth is going to come out. I'm an innocent man. They saw you on camera.
Yeah, and you
take
boasted.
The ballots.
You boasted.
Well, if you ever hear of a shoe store, doesn't have to be Payless. Any shoe store that's given away free samples, please tell me. I would like to know. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. And all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today. You get the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we come to you live from Osseo, Wisconsin, and the Norske Nook as our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour continues with Reed and Frigby. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not.
Cash Bell makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bell Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.